Father's Day, our time of centering this morning, we are going to have a violin duet with Brian and Scott. So as we continue to prepare for worship, just let the tune, Nearer My God to Thee, focus us on who God is.
Thank you. Nice way to start the morning, isn't it? Jason's on vacation today, and so we are blessed to have an old friend back with us.
You emphasize old, I know.
I'm out of here. Good to see you.
Oh, we welcome Reverend Dr. Tom Labonte to the pulpit today. For those of you who do not know him, he did his pastoral internship here and made some friends. And it's good to have him here. He's now an honorably retired PCUSA pastor and has served as part-time pastor for congregational care at Bethel Presbyterian Church for 2 years and as part-time transitional pastor at Kings Mountain from June 2022 to May 2023. Prior to his ministry, he retired as a military officer, served on a college faculty, and had a career in financial services. He's trying to figure out what retirement really means, being he's retired 3 times and he's still working.
Well, my wife never mattered much to her what I did as long as the check came in.
I hear you. Way to go, girl. Tom and his wife, Starian, have been married over 50 years. They have 2 daughters, a dog, and 2 adopted people that are a little older, me and Kate. So we welcome them here today. It's good to have them. We've got a list of announcements here. First, we had a great car show yesterday. For those that didn't make it, we thank everybody that did make it and everybody that worked. It was a good show. There were some nice cars here. It just make you drool a lot. I needed to wear a bib judging yesterday. It was a really nice car show. I want to thank everybody that worked so hard for that, and especially to Dwight and Diane. This it's a full-time job for them, and it's a year-round thing. That is, this doesn't just happen overnight or just in a weekend or a week or two. They work year-round to do this, and they do a wonderful job. I think we owe them a round of applause for that. Kelly just told me the bake sale made something over $600, and she wanted to thank everybody that worked so hard for the bake sale. We have a quilt that has been donated and is being raffled off. You'll see it out front. Is after the after preaching, after the service. So take a look, buy a ticket, buy 10, buy a bunch of, you need some, buddy. buy some tickets. And that's good. The prayer room is open today, as most Sundays, and it's right behind us here. You know, prayer is not just to ask God to help you with things, it's to thank Him also. He not only wants us to help us with our problems and our wants and our needs, He wants to be able to rejoice with Him too. So whatever the occasion is, go to God in prayer, and there'll be a couple of people back there to help you with that. And along that line, anything that happens in the prayer room stays in the prayer room. It is not a newspaper or a radio station back there. It is a private thing, and whatever you bring to the prayer room stays in the prayer room. If you have contributed pictures to the women's birthday dinner, they're ready for pickup in the narthex. Let's see. My peepers are weak. There was a pair of glasses found yesterday, and they will be out there. They're on the table, I believe, in the narthex. So, and they're women's glasses. They're not just readers. They're real glasses. So if you lost some, they're there waiting on you. Now let's come to the Lord and for a call to worship. And it is, are there any other announcements before we get there? All right.
So if the doors are open, please leave them open.
Y'all get that? These doors, leave them open. We need them open so we can keep this room cool.
I have another announcement. There's also a ring found in the grass last week. If anyone wants to come to the office and describe it to me, make sure it's yours. I can give that back.
Everybody get that? There was a ring found, and it's in the office, right? It's about a 3-carat diamond. I think you're missing that, aren't you, Kay? It will be in the office. Now let's come together. And we love you, O Lord, Father and Creator.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer.
I call upon the Lord, who is above all others, to be praised. Blessed is the Lord, for He lives as the God of my salvation.
For this I extol you, O Lord, and sing praises to your name.
Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a time to be able to come to worship you, and that we give thanks for all that we have and all that we are. We thank you for this facility. We thank you for the leaders of our church. Guide us as we come to you today. These and all things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, greet those around you. Pass the peace. Good to see y'all. Mr. LeBond.
Yes, brother.
Brother Tom.
Brother Tom.
Take care. Okay, you want me to go down to
Gloria Pottery, and then yeah. I'll take over.
Okay.
With the affirmation of faith. Can you sing?
Can I sing?
Come solo.
Very, yeah, solo, you can't hear me. I can sing solo, and I don't mind, but it'll clear the room out. Glad y'all are coming back to the house today.
We're looking forward to it during the
week. Got the shop finished. Be glad for you to see that, and it's just, we're coming along.
You know, it's all a work in progress.
Well, I hate it's rained so much because it's so dang muddy there. But that's just what the Lord sent us.
That's what we got. Yep.
That's right. That's what we got.
That's what we got.
Hey, this is it.
Get him.
Good morning. There we go. Welcome to worship. We are so glad you are with us, and we are so thankful. Tom's here. We are going to kind of do a kickback service, and we're going to open our service with an old spiritual. This is one of our favorites. When I was in the bluegrass band, we would do a medley, and this was one of them. So great time and a great just way to really focus on God, because we certainly lean on His everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
Together with our prayer to confess our sins. This two up here. We'll say our prayer and then, as usual, have a silent time at the end. Heavenly Father and Creator, we worship you in the name of Jesus, confessing we have not been faithful to your purpose. We abide in sin, disdaining the ways of the one who came to take our sin away. We confess we really do not know Christ or aspire
to follow this path of love and service.
Heal our brokenness, O God, and bring together the fragments of our scattered existence into a meaningful whole,
so that we may live our prayer.
We lift this prayer to you with a contrite heart, in the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we go to you in a moment of self-confession and silent prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, that if we say we have no sin, we are we're deceiving ourselves. Sin envelops us with the great sin envelops us with the great a greater tempter pursues with us all of the manner. The cords of death encompass me, perdition assails and entangles me in sin. Call upon the Lord, O God. We will not abandon us to the fate we deserve. In my distress, I call upon the Lord. He hears my cry and with love and mercy grants me petition. By the grace of God and Jesus Christ, the price of our sins have been paid, and we are forgiven, reconciled with our Father in heaven. Alleluia. Amen.
We now go to that time when we lift up to the Lord what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which for 1,600 years has been the universal testimony to what we feel is our faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for those 1,600 years, churches universal have had their members stand up to honor God and recite that creed verbatim. So now I ask you, Christians, in using the Apostles' Creed, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing one of the old hymns of the church, number 449, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be. Oh, will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy throne. It shall be the royal throne. It shall be the royal throne.
And I believe Miss Kay is now going to do children's time. And remembering that all of us are children of God, all y'all can come up if you want.
If you do, you have to sit on the floor. I'm not good at this. Look at all of those faces. Gracious. Do we have all girls today? All girls. Boy, the boys are missing out, aren't they? Who can tell me what's special about today? It's Father's Day. That is right. And because it's Father's Day, it's a really, really special day, isn't it? Do you know that Father's Day is that day that we celebrate because God gave us that very, very special gift, fathers? Can anybody tell me what makes your daddy really, really, really special? What makes your daddy special? He sells houses to make you money. That is great. That is very important. Daddies need to be good providers.
My daddy paints people's houses.
He paints people's houses? And he cleans it? That is so very, very nice. Well, what is one of your favorite things that you like to do with your daddy? What do you like to do with daddy?
Play football.
Play football. Oh, boy. Go, girls.
I like to play this football, and I like to play my dad the monster, and then I can chase him and bounce him.
Oh, so daddy plays monster, and you chase him in the bouncy. Well, that is just really great. What do you call your daddy? Do you call him father?
And have a necklace. I call daddy.
You call your daddy daddy. What do you call your daddy?
Daddy.
Dad?
I call my daddy.
Okay, all right. Well, when my big girl was a little girl, she called her daddy Dida. And she still refers to him as D-Dad to this very day, yes. Has your daddy ever given you some good advice? Has he told you something really good you should remember? What did he tell you? When I was a little girl, my daddy would say, do your best and forget the rest. Do your best and forget the rest. And you know, that's really pretty simple advice, but it reminds me that trying hard is important. It's more important than being perfect. And I still think about that some today. Do you know that Jesus had a very special name for his daddy? Do you know what it was? There were two names that we might think of. One is Abba. And the other one is Father God. Yes. And Father God is our Heavenly Father. And that is very, very special. So if you think about that, that means, in a way, that Jesus is our big brother. How cool is that? Is that really cool? I think so, too. I do. Okay. Well, sometimes we have men in our lives that are not our daddies, but they're very special to us, and they're like daddies to us. And these men care very deeply for you and want you to do your best. I think we could say that about all those men out there in church. They love you, and they want you to do your best, and they're like a daddy to you. But in the Bible, Jesus tells us that we have one Father who is in heaven. And when we believe that with all of our hearts, we become by faith a child of God. So every one of you believe in Jesus and believe that we have one Father in heaven. So you are a child of God. Now, I think we should pray for our daddies, don't you? And after we pray for our daddies, we have some very special things here to give to them. And I'm going to need your help, okay? And we're going to give one of these to every man in the church, because they may not be your daddy, but they love you and they care for you, and they're going to always be there to help you, okay? So let's bow our heads and close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for our fathers. We ask you to bless them with clear direction. Bless them with a deeper connection to you. Let our children learn what love, faith, and honor look like through their father's example. Cover our dads with your protection. And let your favor rest on their lives. Amen. Now, I want you to come and get these bags. And I forgot about your offering. Come and take one to every man out there in the congregation, okay? That's right, Elena. You get just a whole handful of them and take them out there to every man. Very good. Very good.
Before I go into the prayer of illumination and pontificate to you, I want to say how good it is to see familiar faces in this congregation. And for the so-called old-timers, you sit in exactly the same places you sat 15 years ago when I was here. So I can tell who's here and who might be missing, and it's really wonderful to be back with you this morning as we have a time of worship together. So we begin my part with talking a bit about Proverbs 3 and 1 Corinthians 13. And before doing that, let's briefly have a prayer of illumination. Heavenly Father, O Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we may hear the words of truth this day. Draw us into your communion. Enable us to love and to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, which tells a message that has resonated for nearly 3,000 years of a father teaching his son what it means to love God. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, which basically means uphold him with honor and love in Hebrew. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will bring over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. And our New Testament reading is in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, hear again the word of the Lord. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in it disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Before the word is proclaimed, join me for just a moment of prayer. Oh Lord, we come to you praising and worshiping you as our ever merciful and loving Father God. We seek in humility to better discern and understand your will for us to be repentant people of genuine faith. Open our hearts and minds to strengthen our understanding as you hear this word read and proclaimed in your holy name. And in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So on this day of the Lord, we praise, glorify, and lift up our Father of all creation, and we lift up the fathers of this church. Oh, by the way, and the grandfathers as well. If you're a grandfather, please raise your hand. Amen. 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 I didn't want to embarrass you, James. In every generation, parents have struggled with tough times in marriage and in raising their children. And I think today, as we look around us with change and conflict in our society, there's maybe never been a tougher time to be a good father and a good mother with everything that seems to be going on around us. Seems that traditional values of being married and what that means are being challenged all the time. And that raising children in a godly way is something that may be becoming lost in our society. But God gives us a clear word and examples of what he wants of us as fathers and, of course, as mothers. And God's expectations of fathers are clearly proclaimed in his holy word. The Old Testament exemplar of a godly father is Abraham. His name means father of the people or father of nations. And in Genesis chapters 12 through 15, I'll get it out eventually, 12 through 15, God names him father of the people and father of the nations. And he is chosen because of his faithfulness and obedience to God's will. He's as far as not perfect as we are. But God has entrusted him with leading his people in a godly way. And today we still follow his example and the example of Jesus Christ, of whom through his father's lineage he is descended. But Abraham honors God throughout his life, and God richly blesses him. In Proverbs 3, 1 through 13, or 1 through 12, Solomon emphasizes for all time what it means to truly love and serve God. This, of course, applies to fathers as well as to mothers. And here's what we read in Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. Let love and faithfulness abide in you and take them into your heart in your life. Trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord. I'm paraphrasing. Fear the Lord to respect and obey him. Honor the Lord with your wealth and resources and how you use them. Do not reject his commandments and holy word. Live by them. Do not resent his discipline because it is a sign of his love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, the apostle defines love and says, if I do not love, I am nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love never fails. Live by faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So what does it mean in God's eyes to be a loving father? God has expectations of us and what that truly means. A righteous father is loyal and faithful to God, his family, and his friends. He trusts and honors God by giving of his time and talent and resources to serve his church and to help his neighbor and those in need. He's a man of integrity, strength, and compassion and forgiveness, doing his best to set an example for his wife and children. A father loves, honors, and respects his wife, fulfilling his marriage vows made before God. And his wife, the mother of his children, is his best friend and soulmate. She joins him in his journey of life, his journey of faith. And these same qualities are commended by God to her. A wise and righteous father walks in the rightly path, the straight path. He lives by faith, hope, and love. It's a pretty tall order, gentlemen, that we have to live up to. This is not to deny that there are times from a wife's perspective when some forbearance is needed for her husband and father of her children. Years ago, I was reading in the American Legion magazine what it would mean to the women of this world if fathers truly thought they ruled the world and actually did. And basically, when your wife wants to let you know she loves you during a football game, she would appear in the lower left corner of the screen so you wouldn't miss any of the plays, as she would, by sign language, let you know that she loved you. Viewing all sports channels would be free, year-round. And telephones would automatically cut off after 30 seconds of communication. That sounds about right. And then there's a revealing commercial of years ago of a man sitting in his favorite reading chair, watching TV, when his wife comes in behind him and comes alongside him with a brand new dress on that she's very proud of. And she says, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" And without looking around, he says, "You betcha." Gentlemen, sometimes the forbearance of our better half is stretched to the limit. I'll get my composure back now. So in the parable of the prodigal son, it's often taught as the relationship between a rebellious, self-centered young man and his elder brother. But this morning, I want you to think of it as really the relationship between us and our Father God. And I ask you to remember that Jesus uses this teaching to teach us about how a father deals with sin, rejection, repentance, and loving forgiveness. And these attributes are just as critical today as they were 2,000 years ago. And then you remember, oftentimes during Father's Day, we remember the story from Luke 15 about the prodigal son. And normally we think that this is really about this wayward son who disobeys his father and dishonors him by asking for his inheritance before his father dies. And this is about as countercultural and disrespectful for a Jewish son to be toward his father. Jews reading this section of the scripture find this as an absolute abomination. But this younger man decides that he no longer wants to live with his father, doesn't work on the farm, doesn't want any responsibility. He wants his money now. So he comes to his father and says, "I want my inheritance now." His father's heartbroken. He could have said to him, "I disown you, get off my property, and I never want to see you again." But he didn't say that. He said to him, "I will give you what you ask." And he went and divided up his assets, gave his younger son this bag of money. His younger son, without a word, turned around and walked away. And he walked down that long path to a Gentile land, to a heathen land, where he took this money and spent it wildly, having parties and fun and inviting in all his friends, who would drink his beer, wine, eat his food, dance. But when the money ran out, all those so-called friends abandoned him. And in order to eat, no one would help him. In order to eat, he had to hire out feeding slop to pigs. As you know, pork is an abomination in Judaism. So he sunk as low as a Jew could sink in his life. And one day, he says to himself, "Even my father's servants," and the word in Hebrew is eved, it means either servant or slaves, "even my father's slaves eat better and live better than I do. What am I doing here?" And he takes up his few belongings and starts walking back toward his father. And along the way, he's thinking about, what am I going to say to my father? I've so dishonored and disobeyed him. I'm going to throw myself at his feet and beg him to forgive me. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have dishonored you. I have disowned you. Treat me like one of your slaves, and I will be a slave on this property with you. I no longer deserve to be your son. And as he approaches his father's home, his father has been sitting on the porch every day looking down that long road, hoping to see the figure of his son approaching. And as he sees him coming down this path, he leaps up out of his seat and runs out to his son. And as his son sinks to his knees, begging him for forgiveness, he raises him up and embraces him and kisses him and welcomes him back into his family. And as he's welcoming him back, his son is saying, but I don't deserve this. I've dishonored you. Forgive me. And his father said, son, I have always forgiven you. I have always loved you. Welcome back into my home. So oftentimes we forget that Jesus tells this story to remind us how God feels about us when we stray from him, when we may do something that dishonors him, or in some way turn him against us. But when we go to God for forgiveness, we are always forgiven. No matter what we have done, no matter how bad we may think it is, we are always forgiven out of his love through Jesus Christ. And for that, we should always give thanks. So this morning, we're going to build upon this story, also upon our readings in Proverbs 3 and in Luke 15, which I was just relating to you, and in 1 Corinthians, to really identify what I call the 10 characteristics of a loving father. And Alyssa did a wonderful job with this handout, which I really have I like this a lot. I mean, the ties sort of present an image, but having the 10 characteristics listed here, I would encourage you to keep this. And from time to time, fathers, men of the church, read these 10 characteristics of a loving father, as I'm going to do, and ask yourself, how well am I living up to this? And right now, I won't tell you where I would be, but right now I need to up my game a bit as I look through this with you. So let's talk about the 10 characteristics. Love and honor your wife. Gentlemen, remember, she chose you. We think we chose her, but since time immemorial, it's the ladies who choose, and they make us think it's our idea. So she is our gift from God. So seek her counsel. Listen to her. And create special moments so that our wives will not have to remind us that she married us and chose us for better or for worse. Don't expect perfect children. I mean, think back when we were children. I think back when I was a child. I was nowhere near perfect. So don't expect perfect children. Remember that as children, we make mistakes. We do things that we may not like, and they test our patience, but we are to love them, right? We are to love them regardless. Love and enjoy time with your children. Quality time is the best gift, the most important gift we can give to our children, and that they'll always remember. Listen to your children, their joy, their sadness, their fears, their hopes, and then reassure them and respond to them with understanding and overall loving support. Provide for your children time, but above all, quality time and unconditional love during that time, and be a role model as best we can to living the Christian life. Educate your children by your example. Do as I say and do as I do would be our motto as a father. Pray daily, attend church with them, love and honor your wife and your children by your words and your actions. Now, I need to talk just a minute about that, about loving your children and telling them that. For my generation, my parents grew up during the Depression. It was hard times. The men all fought in World War II in Korea. They were raised tough, and they had to be tough to live through and do the things they did. I don't think my parents ever heard their parents tell them that they loved them. It just wasn't back then, apparently, for country people, what they did. I guess it was assumed. And because of that, I don't ever remember telling my children that I loved them. I hope I did. I was talking to my older daughter yesterday on the phone, and I said to her, "Heather, if I never told you I love you, I want you to know I have always loved you, and I always will." And she said to me, "Dad, I always knew you loved me. You didn't have to tell me." So educate children by our example in how we love our mother, their mother, and how we love each other. Pray to receive God's guidance as a husband and father. We got to walk humbly with God, acknowledging the gifts and strengths He has given us, but also how much we need Him and how much we need to do better based on our shortcomings. Pray daily for your wife and children. Pray for guidance to be a loving husband and dad. Be a positive role model in all aspects of your life. I think this might be one of the toughest aspects. It's not do as I say as much as it's do as I do. Be a role model. Do what is right and with kindness, and seek your wife's support and recommendations. And I have to tell you, I have a very good wife who does her best to keep me on the straight and narrow path. She's been doing it for 52 years, so I really appreciate it. Prepare your children for each stage of their lives. By your example, advice, and counsel, and quality time, show them, they don't need words, show them that you love, care for them, and you're always there for them. And no matter what they do, you will always love them. So, this morning, I would ask you to make sure that you tell your wife, you tell your children, you tell your grandchildren without doubt that they are the love of your life. So, fathers, I encourage you to discuss these Big Ten characteristics with your wife. Get her reaction. Got to be open now. Listen to her. Get her reaction on her perspective on maybe opportunities for moving forward, for using these Big Ten. And at the same time, I'm going to ask you to reflect upon the following question, men of the church. How do you know if your wife deeply loves you? How do you know? Not that she loves, how she deeply loves you. Experts say there are 7 ways you can tell. And I do believe Miss Denise has some slides on this. First, she will wear her heart on her sleeve. There will be no doubt how she feels about you, by her actions, by her words, by what she says to you. She will go out of her way for you, regardless of how tired she is, the worry she's facing, the workload she has upon her. She will make sure she's by your side. She will prioritize your happiness. Your joy will be hers and a priority for her in the relationship with you. And your happiness together is critically important to her. She will stand by you through thick and thin. When the whole world turns against you, when every friend you ever had turns his back on you, she will be there by your side for you. She will challenge you, though. She'll be your conscience. She will say things to you that nobody else will say, particularly in the tough times. But you can always count on her to strengthen you, support you, and tell you the truth. She will show genuine respect for your values, life decisions, and especially for love of her and for your children and grandchildren and beyond. And she will love you unconditionally. When everybody else may turn their back upon you, when everybody else may not talk to you or shun you, in the good times and the hardships of life, she will be there by your side. And for that, men of the church, let us give thanks to the women who have chosen us by joining me in saying amen. 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 So, what more can I say? For the ladies, for the wives, for the mothers, grandmothers here in the church, God bless you. God bless the journey that you take with this man who is the love of your life. May love, honor, and obedience to each other continue throughout your lives, and may God richly bless you in the journey that you're in. Well, I do believe we are ready for the prayer and the Lord's Prayer. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you raising these prayers in humility and love. We actually pray in humility and faith for prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for those people who have been affected by severe illnesses, as well as their families. We pray for families who have lost loved ones. We pray for this world broken by sin. We pray for our country and for our military, those men and women who put their lives on the line to protect our freedom. And that your Holy Spirit will guide us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope in the world. We pray for all communities torn by acts of violence. Heal this world through the healing of our hearts, which begins with our repentance and continues through daily pouring out of our lives in pursuit of assisting others. This morning we lift up in prayers all those on the prayer list, including Ann Bryant, Jimmy McClure, Jack McClure, Marcia Sifford, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith, and others that we know that need prayers of intercession as we go to you now in a time of silent prayer. Lord, we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and make them in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you are able, please rise for the doxology. Faces and new faces here in this congregation, and I ask and always pray for blessings for this church, that you will continue to grow and thrive In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now know that you live an eternal life in Christ Jesus. Fear nothing as you go forth out into the world, knowing that the Holy Spirit is ever by your side. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.